I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.
Coming up, finding religion in prison. Our guest explores a surprisingly rich variety of religious experience from behind bars.
First, a visit with our news guy, Noah Ovshinsky, for our weekly roundup of what's going on in Wisconsin. Noah, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. Well, a lot going on, as always. The big news, as it seems it often is mining related. What passed the legislature this week, or what's on its way through?
Yeah, it's been an interesting news week, all told. And what you're alluding to is a bill that passed out of committee today, which is obviously a step towards a full vote in the legislature. And it's a bill whose sponsor is Tom Tiffany. And what the bill does essentially is it closes off 3,500 acres around the proposed mine site in the Pinokies, of course, very controversial mine site there, and it closes out that area to the public. And so, again, as anything mine-related these days, a very controversial piece of legislation.
And what was the justification? What's the argument for closing off this wide area?
Well, let me paint you a picture of the hearing which took place before it passed committee. And I'll tell you that it began with the sponsor, Tom Tiffany, showing a video to the audience of this raid that we've talked about on the show previously. It took place earlier this summer, and it's a video of protesters which entered the mining site at a time when workers were doing some sampling. And the video showed, with a lot of swear words and other things, them essentially harassing the workers. It eventually led to armed guards being hired in order to protect the site. But I think that video was very effective in showing, at least to those folks who support the legislation, that this is that's the need for this. That there needs to be some sort of buffer to keep protesters away from the site.
And it's a bit more complicated than just saying we're closing off this area, right? It has to do with the managed forest law, I think. Can you suss that out a little bit for us?
Right. So basically, if Gogebic Taconite, as I understand it, wanted to, they could actually close off the land now if they wanted to. But if they did that, because the land that they're using is in the state's managed forest, using the managed forest law, they get a huge tax break. And if they were to close it off to the public, to recreation, then they would lose that tax break, something on the order of, I think, $500,000 or something like that. And this legislation would allow them to keep the tax break, but also kick people out.
And this passed the committee you mentioned on a party line vote,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
What did Democrats have to say about it?
Well, Poplar Democratic Senator Bob Jauch also spoke out, spoke out against the bill. He was there, or I should say he was there in spirit. He was on a phone link during the hearing. And he basically came out against it, saying that it unfairly punishes the members of the public who want to use the land for recreation, whether it's hunting, fishing, or hiking, or whatever.
Now, how does the harvest camp fit into all of this? Is this on the land in question? This is the Native American educational camp that's been a rallying point for protests, though it's not being billed as a protest camp.
Right. Actually, the harvest camp is legitimately, it's actually on public land. I believe it's on county land. Mm-hmm. And the harvest camp is away from this area in which we're talking about. What we're talking about essentially is land that's under this managed or using the managed forest law. But when we're talking about the harvest camp, that's public land. And of course, that issue, as we've talked about, is also in legal limbo, mm-hmm. Because it's not clear whether or not the tribes involved with the harvest camp have the proper permits to stay there.
So this past committee, is there an anticipation that this law that would allow the closing off of this land without that tax penalty, is it expected to pass the legislature, or are there big roadblocks still?
Well, like most things relating to the Capitol, I consulted my own personal oracle. you may know him as our own Sean Johnson here in the WPR newsroom. I talked to him and I asked him, what do you put the chances of this bill? And he basically said that the future is unclear, that there's opposition, on both sides. Mm-hmm. And that it really remains to be seen whether or not this bill has a life and a future in the larger legislature.
So everything we've mentioned, the harvest camp, the armed guards, this particular legislation, it's like a fractal. Every sub item related to this mine spins off into a controversy of its own.
Yeah, absolutely. Every step along the way, this issue has been controversial. You know, you've got people on both sides, and both sides are very passionate about it. There are people who are huge proponents of this mine who say, look, this is a job creator for an area that desperately needs jobs. And then you've got people on the other side who see this mine as not only a threat to their tribal rights, but a threat to the environment. And so passions are running really high.
Well, we'll keep covering this, and I know you will in the newsroom, too. Another controversial natural resources issue, this Hunter Education Grant, there's a new development in it. But first, back us up and talk us through what happened and how this emerged as a controversy.
Right. Well, state government had this grant that was developed in order to promote Wisconsin's strong connection to hunting and that sort of thing. And at the time when they created this grant, they asked for bids, and the only bidder was a politically connected sportsman group called the United Sportsmen. They got the bid. They got the $500,000 grant.
And there was criticism right off the bat. Conservation groups saying, well, they were the only bidder, correct me if I have this wrong, because the terms of the grant were narrow and excluded a lot of the groups who might otherwise have applied.
Right. And some of the controversy has also come out of the fact that, the United Sportsmen, the group, didn't have a lot of experience in actually doing what the grant called for, which, among other things, is hunter education. And interestingly enough, the journal Sentinel found out some very interesting things in some recent reporting, two of which being the group potentially misrepresented themselves. They misrepresented their tax exempt status when they were trying to go after this grant. And number two, the Journal Sentinel found that the president of the United Sportsmen was cited for hunting with an improper license a few years ago. And this is an organization that, you know, is supposed to teach hunters how to legally hunt.
Well, now, and I buried the lead here. What is the new news on this ongoing story?
The new news, and this just broke within the last 24 hours or so, is that Governor Walker has canceled the grant. Mm-hmm. And so the United Sportsmen won't be getting that $500,000 grant.
And did he say why? Did he cite some of the reasons we talked about, or was this issued without explanation?
I think, in general, this has become a political hot potato and a public relations disaster in some ways. So I think this is an attempt to sort of, I would think, to put it to bed as quickly as possible.
One more DNR-related story. DNR taking over, I gather, operation of an environmental education center.
Right. So this is another environmental story, and one that, depending on where you stand on these kinds of things, may have a political undertone or not. But the DNR just announced it was taking over operation of an environmental education center called the McKenzie Environmental Education Center, which has in recent years been run by the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. And the DNR announced that they were taking over operation from the federation.
And is this why are they taking this over? Is this a controversy there?
Well, it's a little controversial because initially the DNR had they canceled the contract that they had with the Federation and put it out to bid again, the operation of this education center. Again, the Federation was the only bidder. And after taking a look at the bid and taking a look at the things that the Federation had offered, the DNR decided to decline and take over operation of the center, by itself.
Well, nothing new here, I guess. The DNR at the center of a lot of political argument, and this has been true on and off for years, hasn't it?
Yeah, and one of the dynamics here is, the Wildlife Federation has taken some pretty unpopular stands as it relates to policies under the Walker administration, again, depending on where you stand on these things, some look at this as, the DNR trying to save money. Others may look at it and saying, maybe this smells a little funny.
All right. Well, DNR, a political football sometimes. And, hey, the Packers football season. You see what I did there?
Nice transition, yeah. Rob. Nice.
Yeah, I've done better. Anyway, Packer game, NFL season kicked off last night. We're going to be talking about that, by the way, on Monday, 5 to 5:30. Why we like football and some of the demons kind of haunting the game right now. But I think that probably won't be on people's minds on Sunday as we watch the Packers play the 49ers.
Yeah, this is the opening game for their regular season. I don't know if you remember. I've sort of blocked it out.
I've been trying.
Selective amnesia from last season. But in the division playoffs last year, San Francisco just, you know, they killed the Packers 45-31. And so the two teams are back, and the Packers are opening up the season with the 49ers.
I'm not an expert, but I think that 49ers quarterback might run with the ball sometimes.
Gee.
I'd put money on that.
You think?
So what are people watching for in this game? A little sports reporting, Noah.
Yeah, well, a few things. You know, whether Green Bay can come away with this game with a W, it depends really on how the defense deals with the 49ers, in my opinion, how they deal with the 49ers running game, which, as you alluded to, is very, very strong, to say the least. The last 5, 6, 7 years, the 49ers have really put a lot of emphasis on their running game, and it is good. And it will be up to the Packers to try to block that game.
And on the other side, Aaron Rodgers gets knocked down a fair amount. Are we worried about that in this game?
That's always a concern. That's always a concern. You know, he was sacked many times last season, and so protecting the quarterback will be key for Green Bay. The interesting thing, too, is that we've got two new backup quarterbacks for the team, and so it's a little bit unclear as to the position of the team as far as absorbing. Okay, I'm knocking on wood here. Absorbing potentially an injury on from Aaron Rodgers.
So an unfortunate draw starting. Well, I guess that's just how it happens. They played him in the playoffs, and now they've got San Francisco again.
Yeah, the first few games of their season is tough. After they play the 49ers, they go on the home opener. They go on to play the Redskins at Lambeau. And as you might recall, the Redskins have been really on fire with their superstar quarterback, Robert Griffin III.
A related sports story, Aaron Rodgers' business partner in a restaurant, Ryan Braun. We just heard in the news a little while ago from Kristen that he is calling randomly selected season ticket holders and apologizing for his performance-enhancing substance issues. Who would have thought?
Considering he vehemently denied it last year, I find it to be somewhat surprising development.
All right, Noah, thanks for joining us, bringing us up to date on the politics of the DNR and a little bit on the Packers, too.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
That's Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's assistant news director. He joins us each week at this time for a roundup of the latest Wisconsin political news.
Coming up, a look at the world of religion in prison. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.